morning. We are so glad that you are here this morning. Thanks for coming out on a frosty November morning. No better place than to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we are just so grateful that you are here with us this morning. If you are a guest with us, we want to say welcome. And hopefully our service will be a blessing to you. Also, when you came in, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or leave it on the information table. That'll just give us a record of the fact that you are here with us this morning. Hopefully you also received a bulletin. And if not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. And hopefully the rest of you received one as well. So let's open it, kind of go through some of the things of information that we need to know. Today there is no Sunday school because all of our Sunday school teachers are gone. So we just have our morning worship service this morning. There are no activities this week because there's some holiday called Thanksgiving that's, I think, on Thursday. If you've been living under a rock, you probably don't know that. So it's good you came to church to be able to find that out. But a couple things you really do need to know is that out on the information table, we have our Daily Bread devotional book starting for the next quarter, and they start with December 1st. So you only have a couple weeks to be able to make sure that you grab one or two of those. If there are plenty out there, if there are somebody that you know could gain some value from having a Daily Bread devotional booklet, please make sure that you take one as well. And then ladies, there's a Christmas party coming up. There's details in the bulletin about that. If you have any questions, see Diane. She'll be more than happy to be able to answer those questions for you. If you don't know who Diane is, just ask and we'll point you in her direction. And then next Sunday, we are going to be observing communion, which means we'll also be taking an offering for the Benevolent Fund. If you have any questions about that, please see me, and I'll be happy to answer those questions for you as well. Well, our worship service is going to be a little bit different than normal because our worship leader isn't gone and some of our worship team is gone. And so, but we still have some semblance of a worship team. And so it's going to be good. Amen? Because it's not about the people, it's about God. Amen? That's what we're here for, to be able to worship God. And so I hope that your hearts and your minds have been able to put away the distractions. Don't be thinking about what you're going to eat on Thursday. Don't be thinking about who you haven't invited yet for Thursday. Okay? Let's think about the Lord. Amen? Let's invite the Lord here to our worship service this morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to take a moment and we want to invite you to this place. Father, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, it is good for us to be able to sing praises to you. Father, it is so good for us to be able to lift our voices in praise to you. It's good to come and to be able to worship. And Father, here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, every aspect of what we do on a Sunday morning is all about worship. So Father, put us in the mind to be able to worship. Put us in the heart set to be able to worship. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go.
Well, you join me this morning, Stan, as we're going to start with Redeemed. Are you thankful you're redeemed this morning? As we come to Thanksgiving, our Father redeemed us.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
You may be seated as we continue singing, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Shall be showered blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they may fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy. mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we
as we come to this morning's offering. We'll have the ushers come forward. And I hope you've been blessed so far this morning, but we'll pray there. Father, we just thank you for today, for the opportunity to be in your house. We are thankful that we are gathered here today. And just the blessings that you give us each and every day. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving this Thursday, just may we be grateful for all that you've given us as we look at that. Thank you for this offering that we partake of. And just bless it to your ministry, Lord, here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. In your name, amen. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Fail not as thou hast been the listens to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness? He is more faithful than we are, and that's really, really a good thing. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. All right, guys, let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for the fact that we could just sing these hymns of reflection of praise to you. Father, and our gratitude and our thankfulness. Father, help us to be a people that are thankful, not just in 1 month of the year, not just during 1 week of the year, but Father, may we be thankful every moment of every day for all that you are and all that you've done for us and continue to do for us. So Father, as we listen to your word, Father, I pray that it will impact our lives in the way that you desire. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 100. And we are going to be finishing up this morning our series on gratitude. So for the last several Sundays, we've been looking into God's word about what it says about gratitude and what it says about thankfulness. And we're going to stay with that theme again this morning. And then next week, we are going to start our Christmas series. And so you're going to want to be here for that. And I've titled the Christmas series, A Heart for Christmas. So we're going to be taking each Sunday leading up to Christmas and talking about what a heart for Christmas is all about. What does it entail? And so hopefully it'll be as much of a blessing to you as it is to me as I continue to work on the sermons each and every week for the Christmas season. So as we've already kind of talked about and alluded to several times already this morning, this is Thanksgiving week. And a lot of our thoughts, a lot of our activities, a lot of our attitudes reflect what's going to take place either Thursday or whenever it is that you're going to gather with family and friends, wherever it is that you're going to gather with them, about what Thanksgiving is going to be all about. And hopefully your experience won't be like this person that wrote this poem. And the title of the poem is No Thanksgiving Dinner. This person writes, "'Tis the night before Thanksgiving, and all through our house, no turkey is baking. I feel like a louse. For I am all nestled so snug in my bed, I'm not getting up, and I'm not baking bread. No pies in my oven, no cranberry sauce, 'cause I give the orders and I am the boss. When out in the kitchen there arose such a clatter, I almost got up to see what was the matter. As I drew in my head and was tossing around, to the bed came my husband. He grimaced, he frowned, and laying his finger aside of his nose, he scared me to death, and I thought, here he goes. He spoke not a word as he threw back my quilt, and the look that he gave me was intended to wilt. So up to the ceiling my pillows he threw. I knew I had had it. His face had turned blue. You prancer, you dodger, you're lazy, you vixen. Out yonder in kitchen, Thanksgiving you're fixing. But he heard me explain with my face in a pout, I'm just too plain tired, and we're eating out." Hopefully this will not be your Thanksgiving situation come the next few days. But this morning, I think it's important that we continue to focus our hearts And I've titled the message, if you've already looked in the bulletin, I've titled the message, Setting the Table with Thanksgiving. And I hopefully by now you've found Psalm 100 in your Bibles. And so follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. By the way, that verse is mine. Okay? I don't have a good singing voice, but I can make a great joyful noise to the Lord. I'm a good joyful noisemaker. And I know some of you can relate. Okay? Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Why? Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This week, we are celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday. And in these past few weeks, God's Spirit has been guiding us through the Word of God to direct our thoughts, our spiritual hearts, and our lives toward the biblical expressions of our gratitude to God. Because of what the world has made the Thanksgiving holiday to be, by the time Thursday gets here, we are weary of the prospects of the preparation of food, travel, eating, entertaining, talking with family and friends, watching football, and many other things. Kind of like the lady in the illustration of our opening of the sermon this morning. And for many, Thanksgiving is opening day for depression. And for most, it's opening season of an unfulfilled life. That's not what God's Word tells us Thanksgiving needs to be about. That's not what God's Word tells us our gratitude ought to be about. It ought to be a time of singing. It ought to be a time of praise. It ought to be a time of us reflecting on God's goodness for each and every one of us. And I would propose to you that God, in his great wisdom and love, has prepared today, this Sunday, before Thanksgiving, to be an opportunity for us to learn to give biblical expressions of thanksgiving to him. And as I was thinking about what that looks like, I couldn't help but keep thinking in my mind and seeing in my heart the table set before us for Thanksgiving. I remember when I was a kid, man, our table was set with the nicest plates we had, the nicest silverware we had, the nicest glasses that we had. It was set with food. It was amazing. In fact, Thanksgiving morning, we had a tradition. My brother and I would get up in the morning. We would head to the peanut butter fudge that my mom had made overnight. And we would turn on the parades, and we would watch the parades. And by then, back then, you got like two or three parades. You just didn't get one. You got one from Detroit. You got one from New York. And you got one from somewhere else. I don't remember where that one was. Toronto, that's where it was, Toronto. And so we got three of them, and so we'd sit there and eat peanut butter fudge, and that would be the only time of the year that we could drink pop in the morning before noon. So we would drink pop, eat, and we would eat oranges as well. It's just a great time. While my mom continued to cook, while my mom continued to set the table, she never let us help set the table. That was what she wanted to be able to do, and I could see this table just full of nice things. And when the time came, all kinds of food for the Thanksgiving dinner. So I thought, you know what? There's some things that here in Psalm 100 that God wants us to be able to make sure that our Thanksgiving tables are set with. And it has nothing to do with dishes or silverware or glasses or even food. It has more of a spiritual thing that needs to be on our tables. So let's set the table this morning in preparation for Thanksgiving. Here's the first thing that we need to set the table with. We need to set the table with praise. Did you see what it said in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, praise as an important part of our thankfulness to God. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the harp. Notice that when it says sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, it doesn't say make sure you are always on tune. Make sure you sing in the right key, right? Because it's not about that. We sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Hopefully this morning, as we sang these songs, as our worship team led us in our time of singing our praises to God, that you sang to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the harp. Psalm 7, verse 17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Now, singing about God is not just an Old Testament commandment, but it's a New Testament instruction. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, how often? How often? Always. Not just in November, not just one week, not just one day out of the year. Giving thanks always. And giving thanks for what? Everything. The good, the not so good. The pleasant, the not so pleasant. We're to give God thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed, and I'm sure you have, that our faith is a singing faith? There are more songs about Jesus than anything else. So we need to sing our thanks to God, giving that thanks to God with joyful praise. And may our spiritual heart be like that of Charles Spurgeon, who wrote, respond to God. All that He does is gracious. Every moment of His hand is goodness. Therefore, let our hearts reply with gratitude and our lips reply with songs of praise and thanksgiving. I want to be that kind of person. Hopefully you want to be that kind of person as well. Not just during this month, not just during this week, not just during a day at the end of this week. Here's the second thing we need to set the table with. We need to set the table with prayer. Do you notice verse 4? Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to Him. God's word teaches us that prayer is a blessing to God as we adore Him, praise Him, bring our supplications to Him. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews presents a truth that must be grasped if we are to have a prayer life that honors God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 21 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. As believers, we need to approach God's throne in prayer with a true heart. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, what's a true heart? What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we know? How do we display that we have a true heart? Well, the true heart is to be characterized by spiritual integrity, trustworthiness, and dependability in being the person we claim to be. Let me define that again. The true heart is to be characterized by spiritual integrity, trustworthiness, and dependability in being the person we claim to be. You know, it's easy for us as human beings, right, to put on airs. It's especially easy for us as believers to put on airs, especially when we come to this place every Sunday morning. We don't want people to see that we're as human as they are. We don't want people to see that we're in a different place in our process of sanctification than they may be. So what do? We mask it, right? We put on an act. We want people to think that we are closer to God than maybe we really are. But you know what? We need to have a true heart, not a hypocritical heart. The true heart also involves coming to God with an attitude of gladness, freedom, and enthusiasm. Because God has done so much for us. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that even if our salvation of what Jesus did for us on the cross, if that's the only thing that God ever did for us as human beings, to be able to make sure that our debt of sin is taken care of because we couldn't take care of it ourselves, that would give us so much to be thankful for, wouldn't it? That would be more than enough for us to appreciate him. That would be more than enough for us to praise him. That would be more than enough for us to adore him. That would be more than enough for us to come into his throne, to come into his courts with praise, and to be able to have that attitude of gladness and freedom and enthusiasm. The true heart comes to God with thanksgiving. Here's the third thing that we need to set the table with. We need to set the table with thankfulness. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Be thankful for God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. We are to be careful not to forget all that we know that God is, and all that we know that God has done, both great and small. Remember our study in the book of Exodus? How over and over and over again, God reminded the nation of Israel how important it was for them to remember what he had done for them. To remember who he was and what he had done for us. You know, that's true of us. Because there's so much in this world. They had so much going on in their world that kept them from really remembering and really focusing on all that God is and all that God had done for them. And it's not any different in our world today. It's not any different in our society today. We have all of these distractions. We have all of these devices. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about all of the devices that we have now at our disposal. We have all kinds of information that we can get off of our phone. We have all kinds of information that we can get off of our iPads. We have all kinds of information that we can get on our computers. We are so information overloaded that we become thankfulness illiterate. And sometimes some of the things that we're learning by way of all of this information overload isn't really good for us in the first place. But we spend all of our time. And I was having this conversation with somebody, and they said, you know, one of the things that really, really gets to me is the fact that whenever I'm together with my family, we don't talk. We don't talk. I may do all of the talking because I don't have a device sitting in front of me. But, oh, they have their phones, and they're on their phones, and they're looking this up, and they're looking that up, and they said they're changing places of information so fast I can't even keep up with it. And then if I ask them, they act like I should know where it is that they are, as they're, you know, looking up information on their phone. And this person said to me, why do they need that much information? And you know what I said to them? I have no idea. I really have no idea. I don't. Because you know what? When I'm talking with you, I don't want to have a device near me. I don't want to be distracted. I want my attention to be on you. But it's not that way anymore. It's just amazing. And so, you know what? We are so information overloaded. Now, I understand that there are things in some of these information sites that are quite valuable. If you're doing research, you know, you're in college, you're in high school, you're in grade school maybe, and you have to do research, it's a good tool. But when you're sitting with your family and you're supposed to be talking, and you're supposed to be enjoying maybe dinner around the table or dinner at a restaurant out, is it really the time for you to be looking for information? I don't think so. I think you need to make sure that you set that aside for a different time, for a different place. But there is so much that keeps us distracted so that we don't focus. We don't come to realize. We don't understand how important it is for us to be thankful for all that God is and all that God has done and all that God is continuing to do and what we know from his word that he is going to do in the days yet to come for us. For us. What does it say? Only take care. Take care. That means you have to pay attention. It means you have to do what you have to do and keep your soul diligently. I love that word, diligently. That means that's something we have to do over and over and over again. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. When was the last time? I think I asked this question last week. When was the last time that you took time to thank God for what he's done for you? When was the last time that you thanked him for the person that came beside you and told you about what faith in Jesus is all about? How by believing in what he did on the cross, you have his promise of eternal life. You have his salvation. You have the sin debt that you owed paid for. When was the last time you thanked God for that person? When was the last time you thanked God for Jesus who went to the cross to pay that debt for you, to be that propitiation, that satisfaction that God required for the sins of mankind? When was the last time that you thanked God for his redemption? When you thanked God for what he did. When was the last time you thanked God for putting that person, whoever it was, wherever it was, whenever it was, for telling you about what Jesus did for you? When was the last time you thanked him for your family? When was the last time you thanked him for your friends? When was the last time you thanked him for the life that you get to enjoy, for the home that you get to live in, as humble as it may be, for the car that you drive, for the money that's in your bank account, no matter how great, no matter how meager? When was the last time that you really were so distracted that you could say, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. Didn't we sing about that this morning? Great is your faithfulness. And I hope that you sang it as a prayer, not just words on a screen, because that's what it is. We need to be thankful for the spiritual privileges that are ours, the privilege to believe in Jesus for eternal life, the privilege to know Jesus as Savior, the privilege to tell others God's message of salvation and to be a part of his mission with his message, as we looked at in our study of the book of Acts. The privilege of reading and studying God's word, and then the privilege to live it. Wow. Are we blessed? Do we have a lot to be thankful for? the privilege to pray to God about anything, anywhere, and anytime. And the privilege to have the indwelling and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have so much to be thankful for. Don't let the things of this world, don't let the circumstances of life that come your way ever take your focus away from being thankful. Samuel, a prophet of God, before he died, gave the nation of Israel a very fitting reminder of what is important. And I think this Thanksgiving, Samuel's words are very fitting for us to hear. These words are found in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. It says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." For consider what great things he has done for you. When our kids were younger, and we would gather around the Thanksgiving table, before we ever started passing the food, before we ever put our forks or our spoons into anything food-wise that was on that table, we went around the table, each and every one of us, and we told one thing that we are thankful for. Because I wanted them to always be able to consider what great things God has done for them. And maybe that's your tradition. Maybe that's something you'll get to participate in when you gather together sometime this week for your Thanksgiving dinner with friends and with family. And I hope that you'll already be praying. You'll already be thinking about what is it that I can share with them. Because I've already considered the great things that God has done for me. Those are good words for us to be able to take to heart, I think, this Thanksgiving season. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. So what is it that I want you to take with you this morning? Let me give you just a couple things. So as you see the Thanksgiving food set on the table before you, tell God thank you. Not just for the food, but all that he is. All that he has done for you, all that he is doing for you, and all that you know he's going to do for you. As you see the family and friends sitting at the table with you, tell God thank you. Tell God thank you that you're not eating this Thanksgiving dinner alone, that you have family, that you have friends, that you are getting to celebrate this time of Thanksgiving with. And then tell God thank you for his faithfulness. He is so faithful, even sometimes when we're not. Father, I thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for helping us to be able to set the table for what you will have for us coming up the end of this week. But Father, we've set the table with so many things this morning. We set it with thankfulness. We've set it with prayer. We've set it with praise. And Father, may this not just be a one-time thing. May this be something that we do day after day after day, so that we never forget to consider the great things that you have done for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you join me as we stand and close tonight? We're going to sing Count Your Blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your men. blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.